she gave. Kneeling by her bedside, I can still hear mama say, the people are depending on you, Shirley. Don't you let them down. I remember mama in a happy way.
Mardi Gras, put your hands together. attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. This means war.
moving over here. Good morning, good morning, good morning, Marvelous Monday, Miraculous Monday, whatever type of Monday you want to call it, this is that day. And I want to sit and say to you on this morning, God is in the atmosphere. He is present no matter where you're at. I mean to tell you that he is just an awesome God. We know that he's an on-time God. And we know one thing, that he loves us unconditionally because he woke us up this morning. He started us on our day. We have new mercies to get it right. Yes, I'm talking to you, Nigeria, South Africa, Canada, Fiji, Jamaica, wherever you're at. He loves us unconditionally. He is not a respecter of persons. His love goes everywhere. It goes up the mountains, down the valley, over the seas, wherever. And we are just thankful on this Marvelous Monday that God chose us another day to get it right. So what I'm asking of you this morning is to have an expectation, an anticipation that something great, something marvelous is going to happen today. Something different, something that you prayed for is going to manifest. Something that you decreed and declared is going to come to fruition. Do not sit, as I keep telling us, put God in a box. Just know he is miraculous and anything can change. And we want to thank you again on this marvelous, miraculous Monday for joining us at the table as you join us for our executive meeting, where God is the number one priority in our life. As we sit, we eat our daily manna and we drink, so we shall not thirst anymore. We love you, but guess what? God created this platform. We didn't. The orders came from the Holy Ghost by itself. And guess what? We are being obedient. So we just thank you, too, for continuously joining us. And one thing I can sit and say, I am so thankful that my Father loved me first, because the love that he has poured into me, it allows me to pour it back out. So I thank him for filling my cup up with an unmeasurable amount of love, so we can just share all over his land. Good morning, Minister Chiquita. Bring us in prayer, please.
Good morning, Evangelist, and good morning. Thanks to you again. Thank you for tuning in with us. And you know, once again, it's always an awesome experience to have you here with us to fellowship and commune with the Lord Jesus Christ himself. It's an awesome experience to have you here with us and be in the presence of him and staying with him and communing and getting this loving and loving on him as we do, oh God. As today, oh God, at the top of the week, oh God, we shall order our footsteps in you, oh God. We thank you, God, today, oh God. We're going to go ahead, oh God, and pray until the whole entire week, oh God. We're going to pray order, strength, Lord, that power in you, oh God. Peace and joy in you, oh God. As we go into you, oh God, all these things, God, come from you, oh God. We know, God, these things come within security within you, God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God, knowing, God, that you, God, doing all things, oh God, that you set forth in the week, oh God. You've gone before us, oh God, and done these things already, oh God. And we as good stewards, God, should go ahead, oh God, and do the footwork for you, oh God. We thank you, God, for going, God. So we pray, oh God, today, God. We thank you for the security we have in you, oh God. We thank you for nothing, God, in this world can take this peace away that you've given us in our hearts, oh God. We thank you, God, for the promises that you've given our lives, oh God. We praise, God, that you have that nothing, God, not even death, oh God, can stand between us, oh God. That is that the security that is found in you, oh God. That nothing in this world can ever take us away from you, oh God. God, I pray that the reality that you would bring rest into every single one of us that is praying right now, oh God. That we would just realize that a fresh way, oh God, especially, God, those that who are walking through difficulties right now, oh God. We pray right now, God, that even as we think about those difficult, those people, potential things, God, that you can always, God, you have always, God, been there, God, and that nothing can never breach this, oh God. Nothing shall never dwell in us, God, that is unlike you, oh God. Forevermore, God, we shall walk into your presence, oh God, like never before, God. Neither nor death, God, nor either nor
all creations, God, will ever be able to separate us from you, oh God, for the love of God that is in Christ, oh God, our Lord, oh God. We thank you, God, so we thank you, oh God. We are secure in all those things that, God, you that you love us, God. We know that you love us, God, and we praise you for this, God. This is a true reality in our life, oh God. That is a manifestation that you are bringing all things together, oh God, for your good and our good and that betterment of our life, oh God. May your mercy endure forever and ever, oh God, in our life, oh God. Help us to live with a humble confidence and security to you, with you, oh God, and today, oh God, that you are doing the things you set us forth to do, oh God, that we're walking in alignment with you, oh God, that we're doing the duties that you have us to do, oh God, righteously, oh God, humbly, honoring before you, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, oh God, as you continue to pour into the spirits of the saints, oh God, continue, God, to make us aware of you of all times, oh God. May we continue to know that you are in the presence at all times, God, and we continue to stay in the light, God, and make sure we're doing our duty, God, and being a good steward and bringing the presence of God and being honorable stewards in you, oh God. We thank you for this day, oh God, this honorable Monday, God, this magnificent Monday, God, that you bring us life and you bring life into our body this day, oh God. We thank you, God, for this, God, and forevermore, God. We continue to walk into your anointing, God, the anointing that you are pouring into our life, God. Continue to, God, the salvation you have on our life, the mercy that you've given us, oh God. We thank you, God, for this is a pure security that you have, we have with you, oh God. Forevermore, God, we love you. It is in Jesus' name. Hallelujah, Jesus Christ, we love you. Amen, amen, and amen.
Good. Yes, 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 Lord. We definitely do love you. Thank you, Minister Chiquita, for that prayer. So, it's Magnificent Monday, Marvelous Monday, Miraculous Monday, whatever you want to put in front of it. So, last week, you all know that we started on how to be intimate with God, how to develop an intimate relationship with God. And there's one more component, and so we cannot leave it out. I'm just going to say that. We have to do all five of them so you can know. We cannot give you an incomplete segment. It is just not who we are, what we are, what we're about. We're going to come, and today we're completing that segment. And the fifth component is safety. We know, let's go back a little brief. We have connections, and that's connecting with God, knowing who you are in God, feeling when two come together as one, comfort is in a place of peace, resting when you laid out before God and you don't even want to be separated. And remember the way that these concepts were brought was as if you were in a relationship and you were courting. And what was basically taught to us is that we trust God, we have to be in a place too where God trusts us. It's a two-way street. It's not a one-way street. And therefore, the foundation was built up around courting, a courtship, just as if you were courting your mate, your significant other, whatever, whomever. It became, it's the concept is as if you are courting. So the last concept, as I stated, is safety, and that's a place of security, and that's when you're not worrying about the naysayers, the hearsayers, you're not worrying about anything, because now you are in a place, you've already put the other four components together, you're at a place where you cannot be moved. And on, I shared my testimony with you all on Friday, but I want to tell you the scripture that the Holy Spirit led me to. First, he told me, don't be afraid, I'm with you. That was a sense of comfort. That was a sense of security all by himself. That was enough to make me get up and do whatever it was that he needed me to do, whatever it was that I needed to learn to do, whatever it was that needed to be broken, fixed, broken again, repotted, wherever I needed to go, I knew that I was not alone. And this is the thing. I believed it. I believed when those words came to me, and I was like, yeah, and I'm going to tell you, I don't hear audibly all the time, but it was just, it was such a, listen, let me just tell you what it was. I was sitting on a mat in a dirty, dirty old cell, and I had my feet up and under my arms around my feet because I'm looking around and I'm just like shaking my head in unbelief. This was at the very beginning, the first day, and I'm like, oh, Lord, I'm here. I don't know why. I'm in a state of confusion. I'm in a whatever, and I hear like a little crinkling, and so I look, and I'm thinking it's a rat. And I'm like, oh, God, and it started making me pray and it was more. I heard Clarence say, don't be afraid, I am with you. And when I heard that, I started looking around or whatever because it was something very new to me in my life. And after that, it seemed like the bed or something crinkled and whatnot. But I'm going to tell you something. I got a sense of strength, a sense of courage that nothing from that point would shake me. So maybe like a week later, a scripture came to me, and it was Psalms 16, verse 8. I know that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. I already knew that God was with me through whatever journey I had to go through, whether I was going up through some mountains, whether I was going through the valleys, no matter what, whatever trial, whatever tribulation, it was, Lord, I said yes. So now fix it. That was my answer. I said yes. So now fix it. So whatever it was, and this is where we're at when you come into a place of security. People don't always have something to say. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, they always had something to say. They always attempted to try to go against the grain. But this is where you're in a place that nothing, nobody, what nobody says make a difference because your relationship is so solid with God, and you have came to the place, you went through all the other four components, and nothing should be in a place to separate you from him. No gossip, no backstabbing, no nothing. Mama, daddy, relationships, nobody. Nothing should be able to get you to that place. And then I have to, like I said, we're in a new time now. We're not talking about what people did in the old. We're talking about things, what people did now while they're walking on this earth, the things that they did. One thing about the Shirley Caesar song this morning that was playing at first, and it says that once you have an experience with God, you're never the same. And that's true. Now, in that, there are times that we backslide. We have the choice, though, to come in and repent, and we repent, but it's not a true repentance. So we keep one of the same thing over and over and over. But when you have that true experience, when you learn that God loves you unconditionally, he's not going to take his hands off of you. If you are in a place of willingness, if you are in a place of obedience, that you will walk with him, things will change for you. Now, also with this security, it's a flip side. I'm teaching it to you all just like it was taught to me. It's a flip side to it as well. In a sense of security as well, we need to understand that God, the love that we have for God, when he brings us safety, God will bring people in your life to help you with your situations. See, we get so caught up on this person said this, this person said this, this person said this, so I don't want to be bothered with this person, or this person think they know everything, or this person don't listen to me, or this person, you're right, they may not listen to you. They may be in a situation of whatever your circumstances is that they do know more than you. And this is when we have to be in a place where we use wisdom. This is when we have to be in a place where our discernment has to come up. This is when you have to be in a place where you test the waters. This is where you have to be in a place where you're looking at the persons or the people that God puts before you to ask, are they living by example? Is the information that they're giving you is the information that's going to help you or hurt you. And see, when I say the word hurt, I'm not talking about beating you down. I'm not talking about that word hurt. I'm not talking about hurt in a sense where your feelings may not get hurt. Because sometimes our feelings need to be hurt. Sometimes because we have to understand when we're walking with God, we're walking with holiness. We're walking with holiness. We're walking we are in a place that man cannot even imagine. You cannot even imagine to a place where you can explain it, because that's how your experience is when you get it, when you tap into that, when you realize, wow, God is with me because this is taking place. There's no way that I can do this. Oh, wow, he sent this person to do this and to show me this. But see, you have to be in a place where you're able to receive that. When it says safety, that means that you are, I like the analogy that Apostle Temple, you are in the car. You don't have to drive. You don't have to give directions. You don't have to do anything. You're in the car. You're the passenger. But this is, I'm going to take that back. The one thing that you do have to do is several things. You have to believe that you're going to get to that destination. You have to trust the person that's driving. You have to understand them as well. You have to have a knowing that they know what they're doing. And how do we know that? We pay attention to what and where God has placed us. That word attention means a lot. You have to pay attention to what the master has already put in place, what the blueprint has already went before you. But I want to read you a scripture in Proverbs 11:14. It says, without wise leadership, a nation falls. There is safety in having many advisors. And when you have people in your life, leadership in your life that has went before you, that's the thing. See, it's a beauty when you sit and you know that your leader has already went through the storm. Your leader has already walked in the fire. Your leader has already went over the mountains and down the valley and around different things. Your leader has already went through some situations and even failed and realized that I got to get back up. I failed, but I'm going to keep on keeping on. I'm going to keep on moving on. And this is what makes it so, this is what puts us in a safe place, being under the direction, being under the headship of someone that you know. See, a lot of us, I got to keep it real. A lot of us go up under leadership and you're not in a place of safety. I'm going to tell you that. I'm going to put it out there. A lot of us go up under leadership because we're looking for a church with 5,000, 500, however, forgot what they call those churches where you got all the big churches and all these people when you in the churches, you know, world, everybody know about the church. Everybody, it's always on the radio. It's always on TV. The pastor's on TV, man, and so forth. But I'm going to ask you this question. When you get into a situation or you need somebody to just talk to or you need somebody to give you some words of wisdom, can you go to that leader? And is that the person that God is going to send you to and give you the wise counseling that you need? Is that the person that's going to tell you, listen, you got some stuff going on. You need to go into a fast. You need to go into this or you need to go on into that. Or are you going to sit and be thankful for where God has placed you? See, a lot of us, we want to be attached to something that's totally unreal. We want to be attached to a name, but not be attached to where God has placed us. In my walk, a lot of stuff came about when I first went to ADM. But I'm going to tell you this. When I went to ADM, man didn't send me to ADM. God sent me to ADM. And when I got there, God said, this is where you will be. This is where you will be. See, that's the difference. So my safety, my security net was placed there no matter what took place, no matter what was said, no matter what was did. I stayed because, see, I learned obedience. And not only did I learn obedience, I saw what obedience would get me. I saw what discipline will take me. When I went to ADM, a couple of months before going to ADM, me and my family were almost homeless. Almost. I had gotten to a place. We had lost everything, every single thing. My husband hadn't gotten his vehicle, was living out of his car in Miami. I hadn't secured an apartment for me and my son, who was still in school. But I'm going to tell you something. God was continuing to provide for me. I remember when I got there, the first lady, I got a message and it said, the first lady said to sit right here. And I was like, why does lady want me to sit behind her or whatever? And it was like, oh, give me the information. We're going to pay your rent. And I was like, wait a minute, pay my rent. Wait. And see, one thing about it, the way it came to her was in a form of deception. But because of who I was, because I was seeking God, because I was wanting to knowing that he said to be there, I couldn't mess that up. I could not mess that up. I had to let her know, I'm sorry, my rent paid. You know, I could not mess that up because I knew, as I told you all too, that God had already told me that he was sending me to a couple. I didn't know if the couple was black, white, blue, or whatever. But at the end of the day, I was obedient and I believed what he had to say. So when I got to ADM, that was my safety net. That was my security. And because I chose to stand on, go through the ridicule, go through the backstabbing, go through things that would make most people run, that's when I dug my feet in and realized that you don't listen to no man. You don't become like the others. You are set apart. I set you apart in this place, and you will do as I say do. You will stay up under that wise counseling, that leadership. I'm here to tell you sometimes stuff comes and slap me in the face. I don't like it. But at the end of the day, who am I to tell God that I don't like it? And see, when God allows, he opens up the portal and allowed Apostle Temple to pour his testimony out, it let me know. This is why this takes place. You better shut up. You better stop complaining. You better get up out of your feelings because this person is trying to take you. Let you walk. It is an honor to walk the footsteps that was already walked for you. So you better shut it up. And you better get it together and realize that I am God all by myself. I don't need you telling me. All I need you to do is sit in this car and get to where I predestined you to be and understand that you are safe in my arms, that nothing shall shake you, nothing shall break you, but you will receive what I have already predestined for you to forget. I'm the one that put the wisely advisors in front of you. So now you're either going to listen or you're not. I don't know who else I'm talking to because, see, I listened. I listened. I didn't abort ship. I didn't sit and turn around because I realized that it was a testing ground, that God was testing me. Even though I failed some tests, I continued to get up and keep it moving. Dust my feet, I'm saying, still. If I got to praise him when nobody else is praising him, I'm going to praise him because I know where he brought me from. I know what he told me, and I believe what he told me. So safety, we look at it as, okay, well, yes, God is our refuge. He is our refuge. But God will bring people into your life, advisors, wise leadership as well. That's a part of safety as well. Now, I said my part. Now, I'm ready to turn it over to Apostle Temple so he can finish this out, because guess what? That was my teacher. That was my teacher. The five components that I'm teaching you on right now or bringing to you right now, that was my teacher. So you can get it no better. You get the butter from the duck, from the teacher in itself. Good morning, Apostle Temple.
Hey, good morning. God bless all of you all. Thank God for each and every one of you all. And many of you, God bless you, and happy Pentecost Sunday if I haven't seen you. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a beautiful thing once you really get the context, especially that day and that what that day is all about. It's much more than just jumping and shouting. It was a purpose and it was a reason why the Holy Ghost assembled itself around the midst of the and failed upon the disciples. You know, basically it's time to go to work. And it's just an anniversary time for the church or the prophetic apostolic. You know, basically that's basically what it was, the apostolic, the prophetic, amen. It's just basically a time for that type of body of Christ when it was getting birthed, amen. It was getting birthed in the prophetic and the apostolic. So God bless you all, and we just thank God for you all as well. It's a beautiful thing. Listen, before I get going, I want you to tune in next, tomorrow at 8 p.m. I'm going to begin to dig back into the teaching pertaining to the kingdom of God. I'm going to be dealing with the kingdom of God. I was dealing with some, dealing with the steps and the order of relationship the week before last. And so we're going to start getting into the kingdom of God. We're going to unveil some layers, and I did it once before. A couple of times, but we're going to get into the layers of different things pertaining to the kingdom. Amen. We're going to get into the kingdom. All right. Those that got your pens and paper, please write. We want to write. We want to make sure we get some that context and different things correctly, because we want to make sure we move into different things pertaining to God. Okay. We're going to deal with six of them. The first thing that we're sharing about the relationship with God is attraction. There's always attraction that starts a relationship. It's something about that individual or something, the reason why you with that individual that attracted you to that individual. Many of you can look at God and say, well, God don't have no physical attraction. It wasn't about his physical attraction. Maybe you had a need. Maybe you were just going through life and life don't beat you down and you just need a way out or something. Something attracted you to that individual, something attracted you. Maybe you just said, well, I've been saved ever since I was a child. Yeah, you probably was, but I guarantee you don't sway it all somewhere. Amen. And something brought you back. Amen. To the presence of God. Something attracted you. Something brought you back. Even if the seed was planted into you as a young child or young adolescent. Amen. But the Bible declares, raise a child up in a way they should go. When they become an age, they will not do what? They will not depart from it. So if something always bring you back or persuade you back. I remember what attracted me to the Lord. I was going through. I was rejected. I was just beat down. I was just going through in my family. I was just going through, period, at a young age. Amen. At a young age, I think that was at the age of 17 or 16. I was really going through a bit time with rejections and with all kinds of stuff. So my friend told me about this church and different things like that. But first of all, God set the attraction, what he set up with me. I was set up because I was going to church running behind a young lady that I was attracted to. So he led me to this church, you know, where this young lady go to. My friend was telling me about it, and I said, yeah, let me just go on up in there. My friend was say, listen, it ain't that type of church now. You better, this is something else. So I was attracted. So I was led there. And when I was led there after something that I was attracted to physically, amen, then I began to find this experience. I began to have this experience that was in the church, you know, that made me forget about the young lady I was chasing, amen. And that experience that I have, it began to fulfill some areas in me to where I had a lot of void, a lot of hurt. So that attracted me and wanted me to know more. And now it wanted me to know more about this Lord or about my experience. So then we go into copeship. That's number two. Coachship is number two. After I'm attracted, I will need to know more. I want to learn more. So now here come the faithfulness of coming to church, faithfulness, getting into the word, just all around, just anything that they have, I want to set at the table to learn, because this is my time of coachship. This is where I did a lot of talking with the Lord and with the Holy Ghost, the Spirit. I did a lot of praying. I did a lot of things. But guess what? I wasn't out of the valley. I was still in the valley, and I was coaching God. You got to understand something. Why would God put me out of area even though I'm starting to commune with Him, and that I did not even sign a covenant agreement, my God, to spend my life with Him? Many people trying to get God to do different things, but you ain't even signed off your life and say, hey, I give my life unto you. You know, this is my life. I give it all unto you. I'm sold out. So after me and God, I began to learn a lot about God in coachship. I began to deal with different things and begin to have experience, begin to see different things, you know, doing coachship and begin to learn who God is. Listen, you don't go to the next level. See, you got a door. I gave this illustration once before dealing with the stairs. And you got a door. And you got a door that you enter into regardless of what relationship that you are in. Look at it in the natural. Before you could go into the next step with that individual, you have to have safety. You need to have security. It has to be something that making you safe and making you security and say, I want to move forward. Let somebody act a fool and act crazy and all that kind of stuff and you just quoting him, I doubt you're going to go and try to figure out the next phase with that individual, and you just getting to know that individual, and that individual starting to show his true colors, amen? And you talking about let's go on to the next phase, let's go on to the next phase. There's something wrong with you. Then he start knocking you up, all this stuff here side to head, and all this stuff going on. It's something, you've seen this stuff, amen? So when you deal with safety, deal with security, you're dealing with going into the next level. It has to be some type of, I feel comfortable, I feel great, I feel safe, I want to know more, I trust you, you know, and that's where the trust begins at. You know, you cannot have safety and security if there's no trust. It has to be some type of level of trust. And it depends on where you are in the relationship with God. It depends on your, and that will depends on the trust where you at. You know, some people don't have the trust like I have because my relationship is real deep. Their relationship probably just getting started. So either way it goes, you know, whatever you develop and whatever you build in, amen, that's your door that you're going to be entering in. Now, how are you going to go to the next phase, the next level with someone or in anything you don't trust? You don't feel comfortable. You don't feel safe. You don't have security. You don't feel like, okay, we could go forth, amen, because they don't walk away from you in a couple of times. They ain't have your back. Y'all at coachship, and he taking you out to eat, and he saying, listen, I'm going to take you out to eat, and here y'all at coachship, but you didn't know you had to pay your own bill. I wait on that all right there, amen? You didn't know. He invites you out to eat. Now he going out to eat, and he was like, well, here come my half, and now it's your half. How much trust you going to be developing safety and security next time y'all go out to eat that he going to carry the check? Or he going to carry, no, you're going to make sure it's clear right then and there. Now, you invite me out to eat this time. Do I need to bring money to pay my bill, or you're going to take care of the bill? Where we at with this here? Because I don't want to be in a situation, you know, to where I thought, and now we're in the situation again. So you begin to put some periods where it needs to be belong and estimation point, amen, at the end of some sentences, different things like that. Because why? Because at the end of the day, you show that I couldn't, I don't have safety, or I'm not comfortable with us going out and thinking that you, because you invited me, you got the ticket. Amen? So that stuff is built as we going on the next level. So now, once we don't enter into courtship, that's number two, now we enter in the third part. What is the third part? The third part is relationship. Now we begin to have a committed relationship. The first part wasn't committed. I'm quoting you. You ain't my girl. I ain't your girl. We getting to know each other. You know, I'm not your man. You ain't my, all that kind of stuff. We getting to know each other, find some interest. See if I want you, you want me. We like each other. How we going to do? Now we're going into a committed relationship. Now the relationship is committed. The first relationship, amen, in culture, you be backsliding. You still slipping and dipping. You still going to clubs, you know, you still doing different things, amen? Like I told you all my experience, that what I call myself going to clubs with a friend, and God had to bring me and wheel me back in, amen? I was in courtship stage, amen? And now you still in courtship stage. You still doing everything you got to do. You know, your tongue is just all filthy, all this kind of stuff, amen, and everything. Now we're going to committed relationship. In a committed relationship, my God Almighty, this is number three. In a committed relationship, this is where you begin to learn the rules about the relationship. This is where you begin to learn the structure. You begin to learn the standards. You begin to learn the rules about the relationship. This is where, my God, in a relationship, this is where, you know, before we start this relationship between each other, between me and you, you know, I just want to let you know it's just between me and you. So whoever these other fellas calling you and trying to holler at you, you need to let them know that you finna get ready to go into the relationship. Because as we begin to our journey in a relationship, if this keep going on, it's going to be some problems, amen? It's going to be some problems. How, you know, it's just like with God. Then God told you, you know, I am a jealous God, amen? So you trying to go into a relationship with Betsy and Boo and all them, my God Almighty, without casting them up out of you, and you starting a new phase in your life. You cannot bring some dirty laundry, amen, that we don't lay it on the table into something new, amen? So this is where the beginning of the relationship, of the beginning of the person that we are having a true relationship with, now we begin to have counsel with each other. We begin to counsel each other dirty laundries and different things, things that is laid out on the table, other things of the relationship. We begin to close these different things. Why? Because we finna get ready to go into something new. You cannot start in something new. Okay, now let's put security and let's go ahead and put trust and all this stuff in there. You won't be able to trust or have security to go deeper into that relationship with individual if they still having conversation late night with their ex. Y'all about to talk to me here. They still having conversation and relationships, amen, not relationship, but still having conversation and going out with their previous relationship that they was in with somebody else, amen. How would you feel? Would you feel comfortable or would you feel secure enough to go to the next level? Absolutely not. If you do something wrong with you, I'm hoping to say let Pastor counsel with you. I don't got time. I'll give you some numbers, amen, that you could call. My God, how would you feel, my God Almighty, that, you know, you got this, y'all laying out all the standards, but here they are, amen, still late night. Hey, babe, what I'm calling you to see how you're doing. Oh, let me call you back. I'm on the phone with so and so. Amen. At this time of night, hold on a minute. See, now we're getting some misunderstanding here because you no longer we coating each other no more. You already say, hey, I want to have a relationship with you. And we put down the standards, amen, like, hey, this ain't, it ain't nobody else. Amen. It ain't nobody else. See, it's just like with God. Why God want to take you to the next level and he don't feel comfortable with you, my God, being totally submitted to him? See, this is the stuff. Some things is common sense, amen? And I got some people think pastors just be raw. No, it's the truth. It's just common sense. Why will God take you to the next level and he can't trust you? He don't have safety or security in you that you're going to be faithful. He don't trust you, amen, enough, amen, that you're going to be leaning instead of leaning on your own leaning on your understanding, you leaning towards him. Come on, somebody. Things, amen, we don't even have to go into the scripture and point it out. Some things are just simple, spiritual, or natural common sense, amen? So now they don't clean all this up, and trust me, one thing about a woman, let me tell you, brothers, I got some brothers on this line, let me tell you something about these ladies. These ladies, they have antennas that goes up. Their vision gets sharp. Their hearing gets sharp. They are watching everything, even if when you think they just on their phone. Baby, they watching you. They hearing out. Listen, you could be in your bedroom and talking. They already.
to listen to some key phrases of your conversation. Don't you think, my God, they sleep on you, because before they can get security or they find trust in you, you got to prove to them, baby, that you are faithful. Y'all, come on, somebody. I guess Pastor, I guess I'm, I guess ain't nobody on the line this morning but Pastor, amen. You better find some shade. They got to find that. Listen here. Their antennas are up, and their senses are up. Amen. What they call that? That tuition or whatever. That thing that they be feeling. Oh, it's on high alert. Amen. It's on high alert before they talking about something going into the next phase with them. Amen. They already examining what time it is with you. Y'all about to hear me. That's them sisters, you know. Brother ain't even in tune to all that. Amen. The brother ain't, see, they did a survey in the world. It was a survey in the world. They say, who the biggest cheaters? And come to find out, the survey showed that the women are the biggest cheaters. And they was like, how in the world that the woman's biggest cheater? Well, you might think the brother is the biggest cheater because they always get caught because they ain't smart enough. But the women, they are low-key. They are watching everything. They know your every move, brother. They know you going to the left. They going to the right. They already know what time it is with you when you don't think that you think they sleep, brother. They are, they antennas up. You think they watching the television and you got a conversation in another room, brother, they already got the ear to the door without having their physical ear there to the door. So, my God, they got it. Why? A woman constantly searches for security, safety, amen? Before they can go to the next level with you, they got to go through that door of feeling safe, feeling secure, amen? They have to feel that way. Before, listen, this is a funny thing. When I met my wife, I shared this one time before. When I first met her, before we even start courting each other, amen, we was in that first stage of attraction, and then we had physical attraction with each other, and, you know, we like each other, how they carried each other, so then we'll start going into that first stage of courtship. But before I passed that stage into courtship, she needed my ID to make sure I check out who I am. And thank God that I ain't switched my Florida ID over yet to my Georgia ID, because it would have been some questions. Y'all about to hear me. So before I went to the next level of coping her, she had to find some security in my identity. Y'all about to hear me up in here. Amen. Amen. My God of mine. Even in finances, my God of mine. I remember one time, I'm going to put this out here. I remember one time when we was courting. Now, we was actually engaging into a relationship. We was at the beginning of the relationship with me and her. We went from courting to the beginning of the relationship. And then she called me. You know, we was talking one day. I seen all her frustration and stress. I said, hey, what's wrong? What's going on? Then she told me, she said, you know, I need $1,000. I said, woo. You know, and at that time wasn't no lot of money, you know, to me. But I had other obligations that I really dumped out. And she said, I need $1,000. I said, man, you know. And now I'm trying to think how I can get into it. I wasn't even thinking that, man, you just got this. You just really meeting this girl. And y'all just starting to code each other or get in a relationship. You really don't know her like that. And she hitting you off with a big deal like that. You know, she was like, I got a ticket to pay. I said, wow, and I need to go and pay it. You know, so at that time, you know, I had other obligation. I wasn't able to contribute. But later on, she told me, she said, you know what? I already knew if you had it, you would have gave it to me. She felt secure. She felt safety to do what? Let's go to the next level, brother. Let's go on to the next level. See, security and safety is a gateway. It's a door to take you to the next realm with each other, to take you to the next realm with God. God go to the next realm with you. How would you feel like getting into a relationship again with somebody always quitting, with somebody always leaving, with somebody always walking away? And now here we go, and you ain't going to have no issues or no feelings about this sister, about this brother, that at the end of the day, it's a possibility if something jump off, and here we go again. How much trust or all in, you could go into that relationship. Well, let's look at God. You constantly walking away from him. You constantly backsliding. You constantly, my God Almighty, quitting. You constantly doing different things. But now you want to come back, and this way everybody come back. They always come back with a respiration and want to fit saying, I'm ready now. I'm ready. I'm so ready now. I still don't got this drink of water. I still don't got the water now. I don't see the light. I seen the light with Caroline. Caroline, where the light at? You know, these are movies clips, y'all. I ain't calling nobody names out. Amen. And you don't see the light. Amen. And now, since you don't see the light, but you ain't proved yourself that you really see. See, you got to understand, change come with proving. It ain't about what you feel and what you're talking about. It's going to come back around again, and you're going to have to prove yourself that you change. Y'all about to hear me. Don't tell me you change. Then when things hit the fan, here come, I'm seeing that old personality or that old you coming out again. Okay, Pastor, keep going. You know, these folks got to go. It's almost at past 8 o'clock. I think it is. Amen. So, all right, I think that was number four. Amen. We got attraction. After attraction, courtship. After the courtship, the beginning phase of a relationship. And once we hit the beginning phase of a relationship, we go into the deep part of the relationship. We go into deep with that relationship. So now as we get deep into the relationship, this is where the another level comes in at of I'm falling in love with you. At the end of the day, we wasn't falling in love with each other. I had a deep care for you. Amen. I had strong feelings for you. So now in this part of the relationship, now I'm beginning to fall in love with you, amen. Because why? You are doing things to prove your prove who you are, amen. I can trust who you are. I find security in who you are. I feel safe spending my life with you. So now these are life decisions. Once we get into this point. Amen. See, so many people ain't making a life decision with God yet. They just running off emotion and impulse. They want to be, they talking about how sold out they are. But at the end of the day, how in the world you sold out, my God Almighty, to something to where you don't damage and you have not repaired it correctly. Amen. So we got to understand what we're talking about. This is the part where we start getting deep into our relationship. Now we begin to make a decision, my God, and begin to think about, I'm going to spend the rest of my life with you. Amen. Are we going to spend the rest of our life with each other? So now love began to develop. Love wasn't developing until we got deep into the relationship. Many people think of love at the beginning. That ain't love, baby. I'm sorry. You just develop feelings or strong feelings about that individual. Love takes time to begin to develop. Amen. I understand what folks begin to talk about, love at first sight. No, you just roll the dice on that and come to find out their character, their personality, who they are. Yeah, that's what you was looking for. So you kind of got lucky, and you don't play the human lottery. Amen. And you don't hit a number. At the end of the day, it doesn't work like that. Love begins to be developed. Love begins to grow. Love is something that you got to prove yourself over and over. Love is charm. Love is going through the hard times. Love is going through the sick times. The love is being by their side. Love is carrying you. Love is me and you both going into the hospital. I don't leave you. You ain't leaving me. Baby, love is, my God. See, many of you, my God, you got to get this agape love. You got to get this unconditional love. My God, some of us just got these strong feelings, and you're missing your strong feelings up with love, and it's not love. I'm about done. So we got that point out the way. We're in number four, you know. So now number five. Number five is going into engagement. Now you are engaged. Amen. So this person or whoever asks you, I want you to spend the rest of my life, rest of your life with me. You know, and what you say, I will. I do. So now you engaged. You ain't married yet. See, you got to understand, because you engaged, many people think, okay, we there. No, you ain't there yet, because something could cause the engagement to be called off. Something could be called, my God, you in that engagement cycle for us, my God, to break the engagement or break the plan off. It's so many people in the world that they was engaged to a partner. Then next thing you know, that partner, when they should have laid everything about them on the table, they kept a lot of things hidden. Then it came out in engagement because he or she feels though, I got you now. You ain't going nowhere. We done went through too much. And next thing you know, so devastating to where the engagement was called off. hear me up in here? All right, y'all hear me? Number six. Number six is the wedding. You're married. Now you're married to God. God married to you. Amen. Now God has an obligation, my God, to do what he signed up to do. This is why I can't understand, folks. How in the world you say you married to God and you sold out in salvation to him and he married to you? You got to understand the relationship. The Bible used metaphors as marriage. He used marriage. Christ, my God, loved. He married to the church. He loved the church so much. He married to him. So God, the Bible used metaphor as marriage. So now we sold out. It's unconditional love. My God, to death do us part. You know, so now we in marriage. This is where you find out God is a provider. He's a healer. This is where you get your full blessing. This is the full. Ain't none of this trickle-down stuff. Some of you getting this trickle-down stuff because you ain't even married yet. You still sold out. You ain't proved. See, you might want to marry the Lord, and the Lord say you still need more time because you still playing with my feelings. Every time you get caught up in your feelings, you go run into your bottle. Every time you get caught up in your feelings, you go run into your smoke. Every time you get caught up in your feelings, you go run to do some nonsense. So how in the world mean you going to get into this full commitment and you still got other stuff, my God, that is going to damage the relationship and going to jeopardize the relationship? See, before many of you get married, it's a thing called premarital counsel, where premarital counsel begins to help you to identify different areas that will cause the marriage or the relationship to get in trouble, and you begin to work on these areas before you come to the table and say I do, because so many people think by you saying I do, a lot of these areas will go away. No, baby, it don't go away, because that's who that individual is. That's who that individual, my God Almighty. At the end of the day, you have to deal with that stuff before you must get into the place of saying I'll do. How in the world you want God to be fully committed to you, but you're not fully committed to him? You want God to take you to the next level, but God still can't trust you yet. He don't have security in you yet. You want God to open up opportunities, but every time he open up opportunities, my God Almighty, your attitude, your character, your personality always get that opportunity. Opportunity closed in your face, get you booted out, get you kicked out of the opportunity. Why God want to keep doing different things if you showing him something else? My God, come on, somebody. So in marriage, this is where we find rest. Because by now, this person or whoever this individual is, don't prove themselves that they are marriage material for you. They prove themselves that they are ready to pay some bills. They prove themselves for everything that they said. It's added up. Do y'all know, before First Lady, before my wife married me, I told her in our courtship stage or our relationship stage, I let her know I could do this, I could do that, I could do that. I let her know. I used to have my farm. I used to have my horses. I used to have this. I used to have that. Now, I laid out a huge ticket before her. She didn't have no security or feel comfortable. Amen. Even though at that point, 50-50 believe me, 50-50 believe not. Because I laid so much stuff out of the table. I told her I cut hair. I told her I'm a construction worker. I told her I'm a businessman. I told her I was all this kind of stuff. And she, listen, before she felt comfortable of saying I do to me, I done took her to Florida. I don't show her where my farm is at. I don't took her to the house, showed her where my farm is at. Over time, I had to show her these skills. I had to show her my barber skills. I had to show her my contracting skills. I had to show her all this kind of stuff. Over time, everything that I had, I'm glad that I wasn't perpetrating. You know how some of us fellas do. You begin to try to put out this old glamorous ticket trying to win somebody over, and you got lies going on, and you don't got caught up in your lie, and you don't got caught up into something that you can't even prove. I'm glad I was able to prove mine, because she already had security issues pertaining to people. My God, and she ain't felt safe until everything had to check out. When I say I was a business owner, and I had to run multiple companies, and I built companies, and I did this, is here. My God Almighty, one of the areas was the Hard Rock. I mean, Fort Lauderdale Cafe. I took her over there to the Hard Rock Cafe, laying out everything. Here we are over here. Over here is this. Over there is that. She had to find safety and, my God, and secureness before she could go to the next level with me. Your security, your safety is a door for you could go into the next level pertaining to God. It's not about what you say. And I try to tell so many people this. It's about what you could prove. It's about your actions that you live. So many people are so fascinated on the things that comes out of their mouth. But the things that comes out of your mouth, the Bible declares, amen, your heart can deceive you. But the actions that you live, it cannot, because you are showing who you are. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is what I can prove. Your actions will not deceive you, but the heart and things that comes out of your mouth is can. Amen. So we have to learn how to be, instead of more of talking people, talk is cheap, but be more of action people. Do you know that even though the things that, man, I didn't have a perfect run. I don't want to portray this picture like Pastor had a perfect run in his relationship with God. Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Every area that with God that I showed him, he could not trust. I had to get it right. And I had to prove to him I am trustworthy now. Every area, every test that I failed, I had to go back and retake these tests again before I could go to the next level. You don't get away because you got a good talk game. And that's where we got to stop with this talk game, amen. And we got to put up, you know, you got to put up a shut up. When it comes to God, you got to put up all these good words that we use. Oh, Lord, you know, I seen the light and your beautiful essence up in heaven is trickling and everything. God said, yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. Yeah, okay. It's going to come to a time to where you're going to have to prove that again. Amen. And until a woman feels safe or somebody feels safe, guess what? My God Almighty, you're going to have to prove yourself again because you failed that one. They got to feel safe because safety and safety and security, it comes with repetition. It just don't happen once. It's happening. You constantly seeing this over and over. This is where trust comes in at. Trust comes in repetitiously. Amen. You don't see this happen over and over and over again. Amen. You could trust a chair that when you sit down, they're going to hold you up. Why? Because repetitionally, I don't see folks sit in it. I saw it in it and everything else. And it did what? It holds you up. And you trust that chair. Even though one day you come and sit down and that chair falls on you because the leg was weak. Amen. You didn't think about that chair going to fail you. Amen. You knew that that chair going to hold you up because why? You trusted that because of the repetition. That's where trust and security comes. Somebody constantly proving their self. And like I tell anybody, one thing that I learned with my walk with God, when you've got to prove yourself to God, that's the most hardened, that's the hard thing that you could do. If you in this place, don't you, one thing that you could do that you could mess up your trust with God is to walk away. Walk away from assignments, walk away from duties, walk away from him. Many people thinking that, oh, you know what, I backslide, but I still got my relationship with God. No, you didn't. You breached the contract. You broken the contract. It's just like somebody done got a good man and a good woman, and they don't breach the contract in that relationship and broke that relationship, and they still feel as though they in a relationship. And that person said, you don't cheat it on me. I didn't deserve that. And now, you know, you go head on somewhere. And here you are doing what you want to do and still feel like you're in a relationship. The relationship is broken. Where God got to restore and restoration for the relationship to get mended back together. You can't start off with that person you cheated on where y'all left off. Where y'all left off with y'all good at two-shoes self? No, that person's going to have some trust issues. And you got to prove to that individual that you are faithful. And it takes time. It don't happen overnight. Is anybody there? I'm out here by myself. I'm going to get ready to go, y'all. I know I hold y'all past, you know, longer than we should. But these are the things that you really need to understand. and you really need to do. Because so many people are thinking God is back in the place with them. Yes, you know what? His spirit is on me. I just love him. love him. Well, his spirit is on you because he's trying to mend a broken relationship and repair something that had to be broken. Because you breached your end of the deal. And y'all hear me this morning? So this is where repenting, this is where confession, this is where, you know, we are receive him back as our personal savior. All this commitment has to be done before we can move on to a new relationship. You can't jump into this thing, you know, I just got weakness, Fonda, but I'm still here. I'm still your No, it doesn't work like that with God. You got to read your Bible from Genesis through Malachi. Where did you see God? You know, give in because they got some issues going on. Sodom and Gomorrah, you know what? They got some issues going on. Don't worry about them. You know, they still waving their hands. No, God destroyed that city because why? It was not even one heart was right. He must suck his workers out. He said, I tell you what, you're going to find me somebody. Doesn't play. Look at the story dealing with Jonah. When God told him, say, listen, and Jonah wanted to be rebellious, was in the belly of the fish, but he had to go back and tell these people and say, listen, this is what's going to happen. What happened to that country? What happened to them? They felt on their face and got it right. They called out to God. And what happened? God spared them. Black and white. It's none of these two things. It's either you're going to stop your mess and get it right with God, or God got to do this. This is God. You got to thank God that the Holy Ghost, that they put the Holy Ghost here as a buffer that is in between you and God. Because once you got to deal with God by yourself, baby, let me tell you something. It's black or white with God. It's either you got it together or you didn't get it together. He's going to do something about it. That's when it comes to God. You don't want to fool with him. See, a lot of people don't have the fear of God with them, in them, because they are really not dealing with God. You are dealing with the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost is the comforter. He is the one that is encourage you and try to get you back going on. See, when you deal with God, I'm telling you right now, oh, there's a whole nother picture there. That's why God had to send his messenger, send the Son. Because if it were up to God, we probably wouldn't even have a New Testament. Because there won't be no earth here for a New Testament. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. Amen. So we got to understand these steps. And I'm out. You got attraction. What attracted you brought you to that table. You got courtship. That's number two. When you begin to find out and begin to learn, you begin. This is where your Bible study is very important at, in the stage of courtship. See, many people are trying to do Bible study when they are married or they in a deep relationship with the Lord. Now you want to do Bible study, and it becomes difficult. It becomes very difficult. Well, this is where the Spirit of God began to woo you to get into your word, and you know the Holy is just something fresh, something new, and you're learning, and you're getting into your word. Amen? From that, from courtship, three is the beginning phase of relationship. The beginning phase of relationship, this is where you learn about the structure. You learn about the standards. You learn about what we're going to do, what's going to be acceptable, what's not going to be acceptable. You know, this is where you're going to learn. See, a lot of people even must learn this stage because they still doing all kinds of nonsense and everything else. And at the end of the day, this is stuff that God doesn't tolerate because you should have learned that part at the beginning of the relationship. That in a relationship, and you keep messing up the relationship, and you still want God to do all kinds of stuff for you, and he ain't doing nothing for you because you keep messing up the relationship, and he don't lay it out what he's going to, what he approve of and what he don't approve of. Now we're going to, we're still in number three, but we're going to the depthness of number three before we cross over to number four. And the depthness of it, now we begin to fall in love. You know, in the relationship, we begin to fall in love. Now, this stuff doesn't happen as I'm putting it 1, 2, 3. This stuff happened over a period of time. It could be 5 years. It could be 6 years. It could be 3 years. It could be 7 years. It depends on that individual, what is the length of time. So now we're in the depthness of the relationship. Now the depthness of relationship brings forth the love. But before I could get to each one of these categories, I got to go through that door and feel it safe with you. I got to feel secure with you before I go to that next level with you. Amen. So now we're in the deep part of relationship in number three, and now we begin to fall in love with each other. Now we're into love with each other. Now I begin to go into number four, where we are engaged to each other. Now I'm engaged to you, you're engaged to me, and now we are making life decisions with each other. Now my life decisions that I'm making now at this point is no longer by myself. It's no longer that I got iron to this. It's no longer that I could do it by myself. It's no longer that I'm going to be doing it by myself. See, some of y'all still picking up stuff. You don't got no business picking up. You're still doing things by yourself. But God said, I never told you to do that stuff by yourself. This is no longer by yourself no more. Now all the plans should be with your other significant other. You don't go, my God Almighty, if y'all are a blended family, and now you got to go and you're looking for a one-bedroom house because you're saying, well, me and my husband going to get married, and you ain't thinking about the other children that's come along with him. Amen. So this is nowhere you thinking about yourself no more. This is somewhere we thinking about each other. No longer are you going to be thinking about yourself when it pertains to God. My God, this is where you include God into everything. This is where you begin to think about everything about God. You're thinking about, is this going to hurt him? Is this going to, my God, make him feel this way? If I'm out the will of God, as I'm out. Some of you are so selfish to where you ain't even thinking about God. You just going to do what you want to do just because somebody made you go off, because this happened, because that happened, just because. And all you doing is just thinking about yourself. And now the relationship begins to be compromised because you got some self issues and you ain't even thinking about your other significant other that you signed up to be in a relationship with. Amen. That you signed up with. So now they engage in different things like that. From engagement, now we're going to marriage. Now we're into marriage now, the fully committed relationship. Ceremonies done happened. Everything is going on. Now we're into marriage. Now you got to hold up your end of the deal, or I need to hold up my end of the deal, because even in our marriage, the relationship can be breached. Amen? It can be breached. So understand that, saints of God. I hope I gave you a lot of information that will help you and will develop you. Amen. And I hope you'll be blessed. Back to you, evangelist. And thank God for all of you all just stayed on the air. Amen. And you stayed on the air for this length of time. And God bless you all and thank you all for staying on the air. Amen. You're doing an excellent job, and that lets me know. And this is what keeps want me to feed the people, because you want it. And you want to receive it and want to learn it. And let me tell you something. What I'm giving you, I'm not giving you something just for just to be all spiritual. No. You got to have your own walk with God. And this is where I stress. And it's just my job. It's just my job in the office of the kingdom, or in the office where they put in the book of Ephesians, is to help navigate you correctly. It's to help take out all the errors, all the assumptions, all the different things, and put the perspective back where it needs to belong. That's my job. That's all I'm here to do. Amen? So let's begin to have and grow another healthy relationship with the Lord. Some of you need to start over, and you need to start over and get it right. Amen? And get it right so you can develop a great relationship. I'm so happy of the relationship that I developed with the Lord, and I'm glad that we have a healthy relationship with each other, because it's such a beautiful thing. When I tell you God said he'll provide, he will provide. When I tell you he's a healer, listen, God will, everything that you signed up for and to be married or to be fully committed and sold out to God, one thing about God, he's not a man that he shall lie, nor the son of man that he shall repent. Back to you, evangelist.
Amen, amen. We are so thankful for you, Apostle. We thank you for the words, the wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding that you are continuously pouring out, and we just thank God for you on today. So listen, saints, Apostle Temple did state that starting tomorrow night at 8 p.m., he is going to be going into another area to teach, and we do not want to miss that. So, the number today, so you might can tell someone about tomorrow, but tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., we will make sure that we share it again. But that number is 385-799-9620. As you all are listening, pay attention, because there are teachings in the word. Don't think that you know everything, because God is right now, he's teaching. Apostle Temple said sometimes we have to start back over. Just understand, it's not because you are a failure. It's because God loves you, and he wants you to get it right. We just got to be grateful and thankful that God has a man of God that's just laying it on the table, being transparent, letting you know it's okay to fail, but get yourself back up. So I am grateful and thankful that where God has me at right now, and I'm grateful and thankful that you are walking with me through whatever it is. We're in it together, all on one accord. So listen, continue to have a marvelous, miraculous, whatever day, whatever Monday it is, put an M before it and let God know that he is worthy to be praised, and you are thanking him for the love that he is pouring out on you on today. A new day, a new beginning with a new expectation that your miracle can take place on today. We love you, but God loves you most. We'll see you back tomorrow morning at 7 a.m. Have some people join in, because as you see, God is moving. He is moving. God bless you all.
Victory, victory, victory.